Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And starting in the new year, we will create more legal taxi service outside of Lower Manhattan than Midtown. And we're going to make getting around town, all around town, far easier, far safer, and less costly for millions of New Yorkers.
So the new taxi deal is about taxis, more hailable cabs uptown and in the outer boroughs, as the mayor said there, more wheelchair-accessible taxis, too, and we'll get to all that. But revealed this morning in the Daily News, it might also be about for-profit health insurance. What? This is Ken Lovett's story in the Daily News, and he joins us now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Brian.
You write that the taxi deal also gives Governor Cuomo more leverage over Mayor Bloomberg in a health care dispute. What's the dispute?
The dispute is over what's called Emblem Healthcare, which the city employees make up the bulk of the customers. The state wants to gain about $1 billion by making Emblem, which is a nonprofit, converting it to a for-profit entity. The state would get a one-time payoff of about $1 billion. The city says it's going to push up their rates. They want more money, and they're threatening to pull out of Emblem if there isn't a deal cut. So now, how the taxi deal plays in, there is a provision in the new taxi deal that says while the city can sell 2,000 more yellow cab medallions, which would raise about $1 billion, there's that number again, for the city coffers, they can't sell 1,600 of them until the state signs off on a long-term plan the city must develop to make the entire taxi fleet more handicapped accessible.
We keep hearing that the taxi fleet is going to become handicapped accessible under this plan, but it's not really a plan yet?
No, the new yellow cabs, all 2,000 of the new medallions would have to be handicapped accessible. But now, as part of this deal, the city also has to come up with a long-term plan that would show what they're going to do to make the entire yellow cab fleet more handicap friendly.
Right. And still, I don't quite get it. How does that deal on taxi medallions and wheelchair accessibility give the governor more leverage over health insurance?
Because if they delay approving this long-term plan once the city comes up to it, it's going to cost the city the bulk of that $1 billion they're expecting. So basically, the governor knows that if the city continues to push on this Emblem Healthcare plan and threatens to cost the state $1 billion, he can basically threaten to turn around and do the same to the city by holding up the sale of 1,600 new yellow cab medallions.
Uh-huh. The governor's office denied to you that the taxi deal is tied to any other issues. So you're just implying this quid pro quo threat, inferring it, right?
This was talking to various insiders who said there was a reason that the governor was pushing for that certain provision in the bill. There are those who work for the governor as well as those who work elsewhere who believe that to be the case and are pretty sure that is the case.
And the governor's office did give you a very word of the Lord kind of statement that says, the budget and other legislation gives the governor leverage because ultimately the city is a creature of the state. The city is a creature of the state. That must make the mayor's blood boil.
Oh, and they pointed out, which didn't get into the story, but they pointed out that education funding, health care funding, homeless program, housing funding, all those MTA funding, a lot of it comes through the state. And that was a major threat. And yes, I'm sure that made the city's blood curdle.
For city workers who are in Emblem and are afraid what would happen to their rates if it becomes a for-profit company, what happens next?
Well, they're going to wait to see what happens. And really, the city picks up the bulk of the cost, so that's why they're worried about it. They feel that they're going to pay a lot more. And then they have to see what happens. If a deal is cut that would give either the city assurances that rates wouldn't go up or give the city a bigger share of the $1 billion in revenue the conversion would bring. But those are what the talks are going to center on.
Ken Lovett from the Daily News. Thanks for the scoop.
Anytime. Take care.
For thousands of hardworking car service drivers like those here at Seaman Car Service, and the new taxi service law will give them a shot at providing better service to their customers under better working conditions.
Mayor Bloomberg again, and WNYC's Catherine Horan, our news department's taxi maven, joins us to explain more about the agreement and to help take your calls. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Brian.
All hail the new borough taxis.
All hail. We'll see how it happens.
They're calling these borough taxis. Is that the mayor's phrase?
Outer borough taxis, livery. There's all sorts of names for it. The governor called these new permits livery licenses.
And everyone hails them anyway. Listen to this comment that we got already on our comments page. Mark in Washington Heights. What I don't understand is when they say allow livery cabs to pick up street hails. I live in Washington Heights, which he adds is not an outer borough, but many people think it is. And there are very rarely yellow cabs, but there are numerous livery cabs picking up street hails all the time. You can see four or five drive by in less than a minute's time. So what changes due to this new deal? And I'll add that I live in Inwood, which is north of Washington Heights, and I see the same thing. No yellow cars, plenty of livery cars. They're picking up hails all the time.
The drivers face big tickets if they get caught. And so...
Is that ever enforced?
It is enforced, although the yellow... industry has said that the city has been bad at enforcing it. And as these negotiations have been happening this year, they've stepped up enforcement. And they had to promise to step up enforcement even more this year.
So we do want to open up the phones for anybody who feels you have a stake in this. And in a way, the question is, does anybody have a stake in this? Do you care about the new livery car agreement one way or the other? Maybe you're a yellow taxi driver. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Maybe you're a livery car driver, 212-433-969. How about any of you livery dispatchers? You listen to your drivers in one ear and WNYC in your other ear, 212-433-WNYC. Give us a call or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And if you're a passenger of either, call us. Who's happy or not about this agreement? If you live in Washington Heights, or if you live in Borough Park, or if you live in Flushing, have you been craving legal hails and frustrated that they weren't available? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Here is Dennis in the aforementioned Inwood. You're on WNYC. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Brian. Didn't know you were a neighbor.
I am a neighbor. What's up?
So I'm a local parking garage operator up in Inwood, and I have a lot of customers that are livery cab drivers. The livery cabs themselves, they make a pretty good living, even though it's not legal for them to pick up street hails. But with this change, it might become less affordable for them to be taxi drivers. It's a large demographic up in Washington Heights and Inwood for people to drive these livery cabs and make money that way.
It might become harder for the drivers to make a living?
Yeah, because of the regulations that they're going to have to start recording all these trips that they take.
So why do you think the mayor would have held this public event right there at one of those car services in the neighborhood, Seaman Car Service, there on 215th Street, back under the number one train in Inwood? And, you know, I guess Seaman was all jazzed about it.
It's a great change for them, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that come in just getting to the country, and even as a taxi driver, it's a great way to start a living,
yes.
At least something that's at least affordable.
That's right. Dennis, thank you very much. And I know some of the Dominican drivers, a lot of guys new to the country, don't speak a lot of English. They can make, start out making a living. I don't know how much they actually make, but there they are driving these cars. Kathleen, is it possible that it is good for the fleet owners, like Seaman Taxi, where the mayor was, but not for the drivers?
It depends on who you ask. A lot of car services that depend on prearranged calls, they fought this plan because they said if you have drivers responding to prearranged calls and then they can stop for anyone hailing them, they won't respond to the pre-arranged call, and that person will be left waiting. Their whole business model could be dismantled. And so many, many livery bases fought this, but some whose drivers really rely on these street hails more than the pre-arranged calls, they supported it.
And David on the Upper East Side, you're on WNYC. Hello, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been in this area north of 86th Street since the mid-60s, and I've watched cabs drive north on 1st Avenue or 3rd Avenue, get to 96th Street or 95th, 94th, turn around, go south. It's like a racetrack pattern all the time. Everybody knows it. It's been anecdotal, but we have GPS now in the cabs, and the city could very easily identify this pattern. When the drivers say that they want a fare increase because they're going to lose business, that's BS. They don't go north of 96th Street unless they have a passenger. Everybody knows this, and now we have the technology to prove it.
Right. That's interesting. And, of course, they do have the GPS, which they can't use for navigating,
right,
Kathleen. They can only be tracked.
They can be tracked.
By the city, by it, or by their fleet, but by the garage. But the but there's no law against, you know, deadheading, that is, driving empty wherever you want, right? You can't refuse a fare because they want to go uptown. But there's no law that says the taxi drivers, when they're cruising for a fare, have to go above 96th Street.
Drivers have gotten better about going beyond the business district, partly because the city has threatened them with fines and enforcement. And I think they've gotten used to having to go to Brooklyn, having to go to Queens. But certainly the mayor has argued that more taxi service will be better. And I think the devil is in the details. We'll see how it's played out. And if people do get better service, if livery drivers come in from the shadows, and if yellow taxi drivers feel like after 7.5 years without a fare increase, they've paid their dues and they deserve that.
There'll be 18,000 permits for livery cars to pick up passengers on the street. I gather, though, that Mayor Bloomberg actually wanted many more than that.
He wanted up to 30,000, and these 18,000 will be sold over 3 years, 6,000 a year. 20% of those will have to be wheelchair accessible.
20% of those will have to be wheelchair accessible. And will they have meters?
They will have meters. They will have
the same rates as the yellow cabs?
From what we understand, they'll be the same rates. They'll have the roof lights. They'll have the meters. We'll see if they have partitions. Many of these black cars already have cameras. There'll be credit card readers. All of the amenities many passengers have gotten used to. I guess many cab passengers might be hoping that there won't be those TVs in the cabs, though.
Patrick in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just questioning the enforcement. Driving around, I'm in sales in the Bronx. We drive around all the time, and the livery cabs just drive up and down honking the horn. So if they're out there trolling for fares, beeping, saying, here I am, how come the enforcement can't pick them up?
I think it's just manpower. They have not deployed as many people as they could. And in a way, it hasn't been as enforced as it could be because I think the city knew that there wasn't that service in the outer boroughs. So it was sort of this unspoken thing. But yellow medallion owners still had the exclusive right to street hails, which they've prized.
Patrick, thank you. And, you know, he mentions the honking, which the livery cars do all the time. If I'm standing on a street corner waiting to cross the street and one of them is driving by me and it's empty, they're going to honk at me to see if I want to, you know, take their car. The yellow taxis do not do that.
They do not.
I don't know if there's a law or a TLC rule, but I wonder if with the privilege now of being able to pick up hails officially, if they're going to, you know, say, hey, you know, no more noise pollution here.
Maybe they will. They've come down on a cabbie's face, $350 in the city here or around the city, but mostly yellow cab drivers have been accused of honking too much to say, get out of my way and hurry up.
That's the get out of my way.
Get out of my
up.
Way.
That's
yeah.
Not here I am.
Exactly.
You want to hire me?
So it'll be interesting to see if the culture changes as well.
Seydou in Manhattan, yellow car driver. Hi, Seydou.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
What do you think?
This is my actually first time calling to a show. Keep listening to every day. Thank you for the job you're doing.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and the problem is this new law has some positive, but the negative will be a lot of negative will be heard in the yellow taxi business. Let me tell you, you know, most of these drivers go to these garages, yellow taxis, wait 5 to 6 hours without giving a car. And these companies actually are harassing the drivers because you can wait 5 to 6 hours in a garage to just get a taxi for one shift. At the end, they tell you, okay, we don't have no car for you. That's the first thing. The second thing is we, yellow taxi drivers, pay high, big money just to take the taxi out.
Right.
We pay almost $110. And now what this law is doing is letting us to be in delivery doing the same thing we're doing to this day,
right,
as we used to do in the taxi business.
Let me ask you, because this is limited to Manhattan above 96th Street and then the other boroughs, do you think there's really going to be cutting into your business?
Yes. Let me tell you. In Manhattan right now, we have seen some drivers, like delivery drivers, picking in the street. But why most people don't take delivery? Because they don't have the meters. They
right.
can overcharge you.
That's right.
So most people are hesitating to take delivery because they overcharge you. The second thing is that those cars, most of them are not maintained. They're not clean inside. If you come into taxi, it's not clean as a livery. So what will happen, most of the yellow drivers will buy their own car, get into the street, and leave the taxi business.
Would you consider doing that? Would you consider joining the livery side of things and getting a car and buying a permit?
Yes, I would consider it because it will be my job. You know, if it's hard to do this type of job, I will consider it because right now, someone is not telling me, okay, you have to work in this shift. I will work the shift that I know I will get some money and get the rest the other time. So I will move to it because my problem in the yellow business is two things. First of all, it's too much money to get out. And second thing, there is not enough cars. So right now, the third thing, they're letting us meet to pick up in the street without getting the ticket. I will buy my own car, get out. That's the only thing I can do.
Seydou, thank you very much. And don't be a stranger. Call on other issues too, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a nice day, Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You too. Happy holidays. Kathleen, that's interesting. The different business model. I don't know. I don't know who makes more on a typical day. I assume a yellow cab driver than a livery cab driver, but I don't know.
It depends on the shift. It depends on the neighborhood. But typically, yellow cab drivers, if they get a great shift, if they get trip after trip, if they get 30 trips, they can make a lot of money. But they do have to pay a lot if they're renting a medallion every day, leasing a medallion, so it just depends on who you ask and what they really reveal.
He talked about overcharging by the black cars. Whether they're overcharging or not, you have to negotiate your price and you have to know what's going to be reasonable, for the distance you want to go because they don't have meters. Now the hailable ones, these new 18,000 cars that are going to come in, will have meters. But there is a basic distrust on the part of people who, for the most part, probably live below 96th Street in Manhattan and don't have a lot of experience with the livery cars. So there's the discomfort with getting into them for that reason. Here's another question that we got written in. Somebody asks, are yellow cabs any safer than liveries, both in terms of driving records and in terms of knowing that you are, in fact, getting into a professional car service vehicle and not a random lunatic's vehicle? So I think a lot of people from 96th Street and below, don't realize that delivery cars are parts of fleets. If it has a T on the license plate, then it's a licensed taxi that's official. So, the random lunatic is somebody who's just in a car without that kind of plate who's going to try to pick you up.
People also like seeing that license of the driver in the back seat. They see his medallion number and they feel like, it's not just some unknown entity who's taking me, into the night.
All right. What haven't we said as we run out of time? Anything else important here?
Well, I think that it will be interesting to see if the customers are better served, as the big politicians have promised. We've been hearing a lot from them, you know, the big politics, big power, and big transportation. But how this plays out, I think, will be worth watching.
We will find out over time. WNYC news reporter and taxi maven, Kathleen Horan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how John Boehner lost his caucus over the payroll tax extension. And then Henry Louis Gates on the TV show that changed his life. Stay with us.